Today we heard the Ten Commandments. Now, you probably know that these are just the first ten. What you might not know is that there are a total of 613 commandments for observant Jews. Of those 613 commandments, there are 33 commandments for various Sabbath times. Sabbath day, Sabbath year. There are a few different kinds of Sabbath times. As you might expect, there are more commandments relating to God Himself. And you might be fascinated to know that, at least in my count, there are, of that 613 commandments, a measly three for murder, two for adultery, six for stealing and coveting, and about six for lying. Comparatively, these are less than all the commandments regarding Sabbath. Sabbath seems to be pretty important when it comes to all of those commandments. Now, there's a lot to say about Sabbath, which is why we're spending the next several weeks talking about Sabbath in our preaching series. But today we're looking at Sabbath as rest. Now, I see rest as part of a continuum, and rest being the first part of that continuum. Once we are rested, we can then find ourselves refreshed. And when we find ourselves refreshed, we can then find ourselves renewed. So these are the continuum of rest in the Sabbath. Rest, renewal. So there are two main ways of looking at the idea of rest. First, we can, like Scripture says, not work. We can refrain from working. The second way we can look at rest is by doing something different. I'm going to start looking at the idea of refraining from rest. But first, let's look at what rest might have looked like in the ancient world. What did Sabbath look like among the people surrounding the Jews? No one else but the Jews had a day off of work every week unless they were maybe wealthy or high class. And there just weren't that many people like that. An entire society with a day of rest all at the same time? That was outrageous. Even women, even children, even slaves, even animals? This was completely outrageous. It baffled everybody. And even today, it's a radical notion. We resist Sabbath and we resist rest in our culture. And here I'm going to say something a little radical here. I know you're shocked. But I'm afraid that women in our culture are the worst culprits about not resting. Okay, ladies, listen up. Imagine, just imagine, an entire day, every week, for your entire life, where you don't have to cook or clean or plan or do a mountain of emotional labor. An entire day every week where you can nap or read or lay around with your loved ones just like they do. It sounds like paradise, doesn't it? It sounds almost too decadent. What would that be like? Just imagining it may make us feel a little guilty if we're honest with ourselves. But God's Sabbath rest is for everyone. It was that way in the beginning, and it's that way now. Sabbath is for the poorest wage earner. Sabbath is for students. Sabbath is for those who are out of work. Sabbath is for those who are experiencing homelessness. Sabbath is for retirees. You may be interested to know. And Sabbath is for those who think they can't or shouldn't rest. There's a story I heard quite some time ago about a professional athlete. He had a business meeting every day at 2 o'clock. One day, a friend of his came to his house at that time and found him sleeping. The athlete explained that he performed much better with a daily nap. And he knew that neither he nor his naps would ever be respected. So he called them business meetings. And everyone respected his business meetings. Why should we go against the grain of our culture and rest? Well, part of the answer is pretty obvious, because even a car or a washing machine, and especially your computer, can't run all the time. And they're machines. Now, human beings don't do very well without rest, and especially not without sleep. When we sleep, for example, there's a lot that goes on, more than just repair to our physical bodies. A lot happens to our minds and our emotions, too, during sleep. In the same way, a lot more happens when we rest once a week for a long period of time. Our relationships improve. Our lives become more full and complete. We find fulfillment and we find complexity in our whole beings. We even learn better about what our whole beings are. A lot of the ancient rules for observing the Sabbath include a lot of things about not working. Ancient Jews were not supposed to do anything related to agriculture or tending to animals beyond what was absolutely necessary. And there were, by golly, no domestic tasks. There are 39 things you can't do in the ancient world, and they all have modern equivalents to observant Jews today. Now, that's nice, but what about us? What does it look like for us? Do we have rules? There are suggestions. And I'm going to suggest one thing, just to keep things simple. I'm going to suggest that you can use this concept to decide what Sabbath might look like for you. If you can start a sentence with, "I get to," and then complete that phrase, you're probably good to do that thing on Sabbath. It's a good idea to do on Sabbath. But if you start a sentence with, "I should," or "I need to," then I'd recommend avoiding that thing on the Sabbath, unless it's a basic bodily need that you really do need to attend to. There's a lot more to Sabbath than just not working. But even not working would make a huge difference in our lives. Sabbath rest, what does it look like? Well, it doesn't look like sitting around and watching the paint dry. And here we can talk about the other part of rest. We can talk about doing something different. Do you remember the musical Fiddler on the Roof? It was a good one. The main character is Tevye. And Tevye, he looks a little bit like Hugh here. He looks a little bit like my brother. He's this a big fellow. He's a farmer. He's not really rich, but he's a good-looking Jew, you know? He's got the hair. He's good. He's great. And he sings a song early in the musical called "If I Were a Rich Man." And it's beautiful. The song talks about all of the things he would have if he were rich. A house, property, good things for his family. And he talks about how all the other people in the village would stand around and admire him and all of his wealth. Ah, but at the end, he sings this. "If I were rich, I'd have the time that I lack to sit in the synagogue and pray. And maybe have a seat by the eastern wall, and I'd discuss the holy books with the learned men 7 hours every day. That would be the sweetest thing of all." Now, Tevye, he's Jewish in this movie. And Tevye knows all those things that those who are steeped in Sabbath know. Enjoying the fruits and the cough drops of God's goodness from rest to refreshment to renewal, that whole continuum of Sabbath. Enjoying the fruits of God's goodness from rest to refreshment to renewal brings us from the healing of our whole selves to the healing of our relationships with each other, and ultimately to the healing and renewal of our relationship with God. Always, always, this is the direction of Sabbath. Our practice of Sabbath rest may not originally start as a search for God and our relationship with Him. But if we do Sabbath right, in the right spirit, it will always end up there. It's how we're made. It's how God created us. It's a tall order, coming into right relationship with God. It's a daunting task, and we spend all our lives doing it. So let's perhaps not worry about it too much. In a word, let's not work too hard at Sabbath rest, right? So let's relax. We won't accomplish coming into right relationship with God during our Sabbath rest by trying hard. That's one of the slightly humorous mysteries about spiritual growth, and most of you guys know this already. Yes, we need to have an aim. Yes, we need to commit to it. But then we need to forget about trying so very hard. Oftentimes we get there by relaxing and allowing ourselves to be led by divine hands. When we do, something miraculous often happens. We find ourselves in a deeper relationship with the divine. So let's relax. Let's rest. Let's enjoy. As we study more about Sabbath, as we perhaps walk through Sabbath more deeply, let's do something different. Let me recommend you do a few things. Read that book you've been meaning to read. It could be a fiction book, it's okay. And have faith that someday it will lead you to reading scripture more often. Write in that journal you've been meaning to write in for a long time. And you could write anything. And have faith that by doing so, it will lead to prayer and insight later on. Take a nap with your beloved, if your beloved is still with us. And have faith that someday it will lead to holy intimacy. Talk with your youngest loved ones. Have faith that by talking with those children, it will someday lead to conversations of deep holiness that will live in their memories long after you've gone. Have faith these things will happen if you rest. And as we look at rest and Sabbath at Grace, have faith that these things will happen at Grace among us. Now, I'm going to give you homework. Today, when you go home, I want you to take a deep breath, take your shoes off. I want you to look around, and I want you to begin the sentence, I get to, and I want you to finish that phrase and see what happens. I think most of us we'll tack on a second sentence, one that starts with, but first I need to, and that's okay. It's fine. Sabbath takes preparation, and it takes practice. It does not require perfection. When I get home today, I will probably say, after 2 weekends of complete busyness, I will say, I get to take a nap. And since I've practiced Sabbath for a long time, I will probably not say, but first I have to. When I say, I get to take a nap, the next thing I say will be, thanks be to God. As we at Grace move forward, learning deeply about Sabbath and learning to practice Sabbath, as we learn how to prepare and practice Sabbath, my prayer is that all of our I get to's will always be followed by thanks be to God. Amen.